Hello and welcome back to the Watchdogs Bark. My name is Drew. I am your host, and I consider myself a watchdog. And this is episode 79. Oh my, isn't it fine? We get to listen to episode 79. I know you guys are probably getting sick of that, but I'm really enjoying the rhyming thing. All right, in this episode, we're going to talk about what happened to the Democratic Party. There are so many things that have changed in the party. It's no longer a party of rational thought. It's no longer a party that follows the science. It's no longer a party that wants free speech. It's no longer a party that wants to work with the other party at all. And I know that goes on both sides. Both parties seemed, you know, diametrically opposed to each other at this point. But they used to all work together, and they used to do it because they're actually required to. They're required to work together in our Congress. That's part of their job description. They're supposed to represent us, we the people, in each of their districts. And each of the districts is so different. We should have many different ideas and representations going on in the government. But we have like two, maybe three. We have the radical left, which I would just call Marxist, honestly. We have the radical right, which is too radical for me. And we have the majority of our entire country sitting in the middle, wondering what the hell happened. And I'm going to get to all of the problems that I see happening in politics and how the Democratic Party has changed so dramatically. But first, I want to talk to you about some of the things that are happening currently, and of course, give you my opinion on them. All right. Do you remember Joe Biden saying that the taxpayers, or the U.S. government, basically, which we know are one and the same, when they say the government's going to pay for something, that means you and I. That means the tax dollars are going to pay for it. And Joe Biden recently said that the Baltimore Bridge will be rebuilt 100% by government. And that got me thinking, well, okay, the Baltimore Bridge most likely, matter of fact, I would say 100% is fully insured. And I'm going to guess the shipping company that owns the boat that ran into the bridge that caused it to collapse also has full coverage insurance. Otherwise, they're not really allowed to do business. So why is Joe Biden saying the government is going to pay for the bridge? My skepticism hairs on the back of my neck went up when I heard that. I thought, okay, that means Joe Biden wants our tax dollars, which will probably amount to billions of dollars, to rebuild this bridge, I put in air quotes, because the insurance is going to cover that. The insurance from the bridge, the company that built the bridge, or the insurance company from the ship that hit the bridge. That's going to build the bridge. That's going to rebuild the bridge completely. So what are our tax dollars that they're going to lie to us saying it's going to rebuild the Baltimore Bridge? What are those tax dollars really going to go for? Many people like to call people like me conspiracy theorists. But why wouldn't we question something like this? That makes no sense unless you understand this government is corrupted to the point where they will bold-face lie to us, we the people, the taxpayers, on what our tax dollars are really going for. Every single bill that goes across the House and Senate chambers gets pork added to it. Little pet projects that each little Republican or Democrat representative or senator in their districts or their states really want built or really want money for a research project that researches how cocaine affects mice or how their a study of whether or not there would be transgender monkeys, that All of these, millions of dollars go to stupid projects like this. But when Joe Biden says 100% of the money that's going to go to rebuild the Baltimore Bridge will come from the government, aka we the people, tax dollars, that makes me immediately suspicious. And I can tell you with pretty much certainty, they're going to lie, saying that your tax dollars have gone to rebuild this Baltimore Bridge. In the meantime, more money has probably been filtered and laundered through Ukraine and other parts of the world, and billionaire pet projects have probably been funded somehow, and bridges to nowhere get funded somehow. You see, this is how our government works. It should not work like this anymore, but that's how it's working now. Also, how about these new job numbers, huh? 303,000 new jobs have been added. Now, when you think about that, what do you think? 303,000 new full-time, good-paying jobs? Wow, that's amazing. Way to go, Joe Biden. But when you break down the numbers, that's not really what happened. Let me break down for you where those jobs went. First and foremost, 71,000 new jobs were government jobs. So, our ever-expanding government got 71,000 new workers. Isn't that great? I love that. Oh, and by the way, zero manufacturing jobs were added this last month. Zero. The overwhelming majority of the amount of jobs that have been created are part-time jobs, or people getting a second or third job to make ends meet. But that's all a part of Joe Biden's numbers of jobs creation. Just like, you know, they keep saying they have created 14 million jobs since they've been in office, and they're counting 10 million of the people that are returning to work after having been laid off for COVID. Those are all new jobs being created. Yeah, right. Also, a good deal of the number of jobs that have been created are elderly folks being forced out of retirement to pay for their livelihood, you know, to live on. The fact is, last month, full-time jobs actually decreased by 6,000 jobs. Oh, and here's a funny little tidbit you probably didn't know. Job numbers like these are usually readjusted, I guess you could say, maybe 2 or 3 months later when no one's paying any attention. So I'm probably guessing in 2 to 3 months, these job numbers of 303,000 will be scaled down a bit, you know, because history, you don't want to lie. I mean, you can put out a prediction. That's what this is. 303,000 estimated new jobs added. Well, you can estimate whatever frickin' number you want, but then the real number gets calculated 2 to 3 months later. Isn't that great? We know everything our government is doing. We trust everything they say and do. Nope. And here's the final reality kick. U.S. citizens have lost 1.8 million jobs in this country in the last 6 months, thanks to Bidenomics. Guess who has gotten those 1.8 million jobs that U.S. citizens lost? I think you kind of know where I'm going from here. Those jobs have been acquired by illegal immigrants, or people that are here on HB1 visas. They are working cheaper. That's why companies are hiring them rather than U.S. citizens. Why do you really think the southern border is wide open, and that Democrats want millions and millions and millions more to come into our country. Not only, like I said in the last podcast, or maybe one before that, these new illegal immigrants are being counted in the census. That was the rule in 2020. Democrats fought to make it so that illegal immigrants are also counted in the U.S. population census and have created 20 new congressional districts, mostly in blue states. So yay for illegal immigrants. They're getting all the U.S. jobs. And when you hear this administration, KJP and Joe Biden and all the other idiots, saying that Joe Biden has created 14 million jobs, more than any other president in U.S. history, that's a complete lie. 10 million of those jobs are people returning to their job then when they had to be either laid off or step away from their job to take care of their families during COVID and the lockdowns. And now that they're returning to work, Joe Biden is claiming those are new jobs created right there. The truly sad thing is when these companies require the outgoing U.S. citizen to train the illegal immigrant that's going to be taking over their job. Oh, and by the way, have you noticed that Joe Biden and his staff no longer use the catchphrase Bidenomics? I wonder why that is. I think it might have something to do with the fact that the numbers suck and that the average American still feels the pinch. This administration will talk to you till they're blue in the face saying, things are great. Things are awesome. This is the best economy in the world. And, you know, we're all the numbers are going up. Job numbers are going up. The homeless and joblessness is going down all because of Biden. No, we don't say Bidenomics anymore. That's the memo. Did you get the memo? Okay, good. So, no, they don't even talk about Bidenomics anymore because it failed so miserably. Okay. Now let's talk about the main topic I wanted to talk about, and that is what has happened to the Democratic Party. I don't recognize the party anymore, and I know many of my friends that are Democrats don't recognize the party anymore. They've gone so radically left and have allowed a handful of really loud, obnoxious lawmakers to control the party, and it's just, to me, gotten insane. We used to both be for free speech. We used to both, meaning we both, meaning both parties. Both parties used to be pro-American. Both parties used to be patriotic. When the national anthem would play, both parties would stand and put their hands over their heart and sing along, usually with the national anthem. And both parties tried to work together. Now it seems the Democratic Party doesn't like America. It really honestly feels that way. It feels like the Democratic Party has actual contempt for the American people and the American workers. Now, one thing that has remained consistent is the Democratic Party still does not support our military. They never really have. They were the ones that protested the Vietnam War and any other wars, and they have contempt for U.S. soldiers. I mean, you remember what Jane Fonda did when she visited Hanoi and what was then called and still is called the Hanoi Hilton, where many U.S. POWs were being held, and they had all written personal little notes to give to Jane Fonda so she would give them to their families to let their families know they're okay, that they're alive, that they're just being held in a Vietnamese prison. So they gave her those notes. What did she do? She betrayed the trust of those American soldiers and gave all of those notes to the warden of the prison at that time. And you know what happened after that? That warden beat those soldiers more mercilessly than they had before because they dared to try and get a message to their family that they're okay. And it was Jane Fonda who betrayed that trust. She is and will always be, in my mind, a traitor to the United States of America because of that cowardly move. So Democrats have always really been a bit against the military. And the military, during Joe Biden's presidency, is now more aware of that than ever. Listen to a retired Green Beret, his name is Joe Kent, talks about the danger that Joe Biden has put U.S. and U.S. soldiers in.
Biden put his hand on the Bible and swore in 3 years ago. He inherited the most battle-hardened military the United States has ever seen. We fought a 20-year continuous war with an all-volunteer military. And that wasn't on accident. People actually trusted the United States of America. After 9/11, an entire generation was galvanized to go and fight. I did quite a few combat deployments. I don't really know many GWAT veterans that just did one or two. Most of us were repeat offenders. And so what Biden has done in the last 3 years has been nothing short of absolutely destructive, but also spectacular. The first thing he did when he came in was he said, hey, you guys have been fighting for the last 20 plus years. I don't trust you. I think if you voted for the other guy, you might be a Nazi or a white supremacist. And we have to do this extremist stand down. And then the vaccine mandate. Hey, take this shot or I will kick you out of the military. And then we watched Afghanistan implode under his incompetence. And as General Kellogg said, no one was held accountable for that. So if you mix all three of those things together in a very short amount of time with everything else that's happening in our society, but then also coming out of 20 years of us losing these wars and not being any better off for it. Like, what did we get from Afghanistan? What did we get from Iraq? I mean, right now we're funding the exact same militias that are shooting at our troops in Iraq and in Syria. It's absolute insanity. So if you're a young man or young woman joining the military, first, you're confronted with the fact that there's a really good chance that the apparatus you're volunteering for might actually hate your guts.
Now, I've seen a few videos of soldiers talking about this very thing, that they are worried that this country won't support them because this administration has proven they will not support them by forcing them to get vaccinated in order to stay in service. That was shameful. And then the most shameful thing that happened, I believe, in modern history is having that, what do you call it, Gestapo, go through the military and try to find the quote-unquote white supremacists. Basically, they were looking for Trump supporters. So soldiers had no choice but to keep their mouth shut, which I know a great deal about, having to keep my mouth shut in the field I was working in for 35 years. But they had to keep their mouth shut about who they supported or lie when someone asked them. Because if they were Trump supporters, they had a much higher chance of being scrutinized and kicked out of the military and their views called radical. Just think about that. If you're a Christian, pro-American, pro-Trump, you are considered by the left an equivalent of a Nazi. Just think about that. Now, there was a time when the Democrat Party believed that we needed to have election integrity and that there could be problems with electronic voting machines. This was in 2016. Listen to this.
Virginia just stopped using touchscreen computer voting because it's so vulnerable.
Right.
We need to look at all the voting machines. Every Secretary of State needs to be, you know, assisted in making sure that they are not being hacked and attacked.
I continue to think that our voting machines are too vulnerable.
Our researchers have repeatedly demonstrated that ballot recording machines and other voting systems are susceptible to tampering.
Even hackers with limited prior knowledge, tools, and resources are able to breach voting machines in a matter of minutes.
In 2018, electronic voting machines in Georgia and Texas deleted votes for certain candidates or switched votes from one candidate to another.
The biggest seller of voting machines is doing something that violates cybersecurity 101, directing that you install remote access software, which would make a machine like that, you know, a magnet for fraudsters and hackers.
These voting machines can be hacked quite easily.
You could easily hack into them. It makes it seem like all these states are doing different things, but in fact, three companies are controlling this.
It is the individual voting machines that pose some of the greatest risk.
There are a lot of states that are dealing with antiquated machines.
right, which are vulnerable to being hacked.
The workers were able to easily hack into an electronic voting machine. It was possible to switch votes.
43% of American voters use voting machines that researchers have found have serious security flaws.
Isn't that weird to listen to? Because right now, Democrats will tell you and will punish you and shun you and attack you if you dare say the 2020 election had some problems with the voting machines. As a matter of fact, I believe Dominion has actually won millions of dollars in lawsuits against people that spoke out of the problems with their voting machines, that they were hacked in the 2020 election. These stories of memory cards missing and these machines being hooked up to the internet when they're not supposed to. So back in the 2016 and 2018 elections, Democrats saw the flaws of these electronic voting machines and how they can easily be hacked. And that needs to be addressed. But after the 2020 election, no, that was the most secure, fair, and honest election in U.S. history. There was no voter fraud at all. No machine was hacked. Every machine was perfectly calculated. And that's how Joe Biden won. I have something to say to those that say those things. You don't have to defend your position if you're right. Another thing that comes as kind of a shock to me is how much Democrats have turned on the Jewish people. How Democrats have basically become the pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian party. And yet, a very large voting bloc of the Democratic Party are Jewish. How do you think they feel now? If I were a Jewish person in this country, I wouldn't feel safe anymore. I would feel like the Democratic Party has betrayed you because they allow this anti-Semitism rhetoric even in our legislators. Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib have all said anti-Semitic things. They are pro-Palestinian. Rashida Tlaib flies the Palestinian flag outside of her office in the United States Capitol. Think about that. And the evidence really comes down to how Palestinian people and some Democrats speak about Palestine versus what happened in Israel. When you try and get someone who is pro-Palestine, and I'm not pro or negative towards Palestinians or Israelis. I'm dead against Hamas and Hezbollah and the Houthis and all these terrorist groups. But when you ask a Palestinian to condemn what Hamas did to Israel, they won't. Listen to this person on the Dr. Phil show. She is a Palestinian woman, I mean, wearing the kefir and all, and she is basically torn apart by a guy whose name is Massad Hassan Youssef. He is a son of a Hamas leader that has left Hamas and is now speaking out against them. And he just tears her apart. You need to watch the video because her face is absolute shock with some of the things he says. But he is 100% on the money. Listen to this.
Start with what happened on October 7th. Do you endorse that?
I reject the premise of that question because I don't believe that the person asking me that question has the moral authority to ask it until they first and foremost condemn the violent formation of Israel and the ensuing Palestinian deaths. And in fact, I find it unfair that advocates for Palestine are first forced to preemptively condemn acts of violence before their platform is considered legitimate. It plays into Islamophobic tropes.
I've read it that the charter of Hamas is to eliminate the Jewish race, beginning with Israel, but not stopping with Israel, wiping them off the face of the earth. Is that true?
This is true, but it does not end there. Now we have the problem of the pro-Palestine, who are actually given Hamas cover. They are participants in the crime. In fact, since October 7, I personally don't differentiate between Hamas and what's so-called Palestinians. Because actually there is no Palestinians. There are tribes. There is a tribe of Hamas, and there is a tribe of the Islamic Jihad, and there is a tribe of Khalil, and there is a tribe of Nablus. And each one has different interests, and all of them are conflicted. If they did not have Israel as the common enemy, they would kill each other. This is the reality of what's so-called Palestine. You don't know what Palestine is. Actually, in fact, the keffiyeh that you are wearing, this is just a statement to show that you really lack the authenticity to represent the case. And what's so-called the cause, you know, this is a human problem.
So you just...
The cause must die. I think enough is enough. And now it's proven, and you are helping Hamas to prove it to the world, that Palestine depends on the destruction of the state of Israel. And this is not acceptable, and we are not going to agree to it. And I tell you something, for the next 10 or 20 years, the Palestinian people will pay the bill that Hamas is caused today. And most likely in blood.
To you, Hamas and Palestinians are the same. They're one and the same.
After October 7, yes, there is no difference.
Really?
The vast majority of the Palestinian people support Hamas.
Really?
This is a fact. This is proven by statistics and your silence now. You are not even, you cannot even condemn Hamas and say that what they did on October 7 was an act of a savage group. You don't have that power.
Said I condemn.
On what authority
question.
Do you speak? You only speak on the authority of Hamas propaganda.
No, I'm. Why do you say that I'm speaking on the authority of Hamas propaganda?
Because if you were a decent human being, you can say that the thousands were killed on October 7. That was a crime against humanity. It was a genocide.
A very interesting exchange, don't you think? This woman was really hell-bent on having authority over Dr. Phil, saying that she rejects the premise of the question because the person that is asking that question does not have the authority to ask it, because unless they first condemn the Israeli genocide, this is brainwashing. This is brainwashing. I've played some of the videos before of what young children are taught in Palestine. They're taught that Jews are dogs, that they're less than human, that they don't deserve to live. That's what was being picked apart. And thank goodness for Mossad Hassan Youssef. He took her apart, saying that unless you are willing to condemn Israel or to condemn Hamas for what they did to Israel on October 7th, you have no right to ask for Palestinian support. And that's my view, too. If you, I will 100% listen to your grievances against the Israelis. If you first say, before I say anything, I condemn 100% what Hamas did. Even if I believe that Israel has done worse over the years, I will not support or condone what Hamas did in Israel. If you're not willing to do that, I won't listen to a thing you say after that. Because that was an atrocity, something I'd never in my lifetime thought I would see. And by the way, if you haven't seen it, there you can find it. There are places to find it. There's a 48-minute video, mostly made by members of Hamas with GoPros on their heads and filming each other with cameras and filming babies, holding babies, and they're sending those videos to the families, and they're putting those babies in ovens, and they're bragging about raping Israeli women, and they're bragging about burning an Israeli alive, and they're praising Allah, Allahu Akbar, they say, before they do a heinous act. And I've said many times, if you're doing something, some heinous act like rape or murder or dismemberment or burning a body, and you do it in the name of your God, that is blaspheming your God. Because if your God supports that kind of behavior, your God is not a God of love. Your God is not a God of peace and mercy. If your God is a God of violence and vengeance, and that is the way you show praise to him or her, that's not a God. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving. So doing this in the name of your God, I believe, will weigh on you far more than you realize after your life on this earth is over. And the last thing I want to cover about how Democrats have changed so dramatically, they used to protest for free speech, for the right of free speech. And now the Democrat Party wants censorship. Anyone that is a Trump supporter should not be allowed to speak in their minds. Anyone who disagrees with the fact that Joe Biden won the 2020 election is not allowed to speak. Anyone who comes forward and says masks during the pandemic didn't work is not allowed to speak. Anyone who said that the vaccinations did not prevent you from getting or spreading COVID was not allowed to speak, even medical professionals. And my favorite, if you are a climate denier and you don't believe that the most existential threat we are facing right now as a planet is climate change, you're not allowed to speak. Well, you know what? For those who believe that climate change is the biggest existential threat, listen to a climate expert talk about the reality that CO2 isn't a poison. It isn't a pollution. As a matter of fact, our planet needs CO2 to survive. That's what plants live on. But also, listen to what he says of a totalitarian government. When they can convince their citizens that CO2 is a pollution, then they can gain power. Listen to this.
A lot of this environmental question depends on, I think, a very flawed fundamental presupposition. It depends on the idea that carbon dioxide is pollution. And I would argue, after interviewing hundreds of scientists, including many who've worked for the UN IPCC, many of the leading scientists in the world, that the notion that CO2 is pollution is absolutely preposterous. We exhale about 2 pounds of it every single day. The proportion of greenhouse gases made up of human CO2 emissions is a fraction of a fraction of 1%. The idea that that is going to destroy the planet or change the temperature of the earth is frankly, in my opinion, totally ludicrous. But from a totalitarian perspective, if you can convince people that CO2 is pollution, there's no human activity that doesn't result in CO2 emissions, including living, including dying, turning on a light switch. Every single aspect of your life, then, if we submit to the idea that CO2 is pollution, then comes under the regulatory control of the people who claim to be saving us from pollution. So when they do these environmental studies and they say, well, your CO2 footprint will be smaller if you eat bugs or you do this, that, or the other, you drive an electric car, that doesn't show anything about whether that's going to benefit the environment or not. In fact, CO2 has actually been very beneficial for the environment. In interviewing Trump's climate advisor, Dr. William Happer, a physics professor at Princeton University, he said the Earth is starving for more CO2. And since we've had a little bit of an increase in atmospheric CO2 over the last 100 years or so, plants have gotten much greener, agricultural yields have improved. So I think we need to also talk about the fundamental presupposition here. Is CO2 really pollution? If it's not, then a lot of this environmental...
So here's my theory of why the Democratic Party has changed so dramatically. They've discovered what power feels like. They've discovered what can happen if they get absolute power. The reason why I say this, why else would the Democratic Party be calling for the elimination of fossil fuels and getting everyone dependent on a non-reliable, renewable energy source like the sun and wind? And then why would this same party be calling for the ending of the Electoral College, the ending of the filibuster, making DC another Democratic state, and packing the Supreme Court so that they have the majority again? You see, if they're able to accomplish all of these things, they have total control. Republicans won't have control again for a generation or more. That's why this next election, I believe, is the most important in our history and could be either the saving or the destroying of our republic. And again, remember, Democrats never use the word republic when describing our government. They only use democracy. There's a reason for that. They want a democracy. They want a 100% democratic-controlled country. But the good news is there are many, many people who are waking up and realizing what is going on. And many of those people that are waking up are Democrats that voted Democrat for their entire life before now. They voted for Barack Obama, and he promised to bring hope and change. But the other part he said was that he wanted to fundamentally change the United States of America. And that part he has done. He has fundamentally transformed the United States of America away from the republic, which it was created to be, and more closely now resembles a democracy, which if 50.1% of the population all agree on one ideology, the rest of the country has to follow whether they like it or not. That's not the government our founding fathers created. But like I said, take heart. Listen to this woman who voted for Barack Obama and has voted Democrat her whole life is going to vote for Trump this time. Listen to why.
Truth is bitter, but we have to swallow it. The Democratic Party I voted for over 20 years of my life. I voted for Barack Obama when he said he was going to bring hope and change. And yes, we can. And no, we didn't. The jobs didn't come. The better schools didn't come. The investment in our communities did not come. National security, our borders are open. We're not safe. We're not safe. And we've got to stop thinking as black and white and purple and Arab. We've got to start thinking as Americans. And that's what Donald Trump is saying. We're Americans. America first.
You have to remember, Donald Trump is the head of Trump Organization. And when you look into that organization, it is filled with blacks, whites, Hispanics, Arabs, Asians. It's different religions, different creeds. And so he has, he's a person that has created jobs. He's a person that signs checks. He's a person that works on the bottom with the person who's doing the foundation as well as the guy sitting in the office. And so all of that, I think, is important when we're thinking about our next president. Our people, the American people, many of them are losing hope. And
I love how she started there. It's a bitter pill, but we have to swallow it. She was willing to face the fact that the Democratic Party no longer has people of color's best interest in mind. And they really never have. They've just changed their wording. You know, you remember LBJ said when he was signing the legislation that was creating welfare, he said, this will have these people voting for us for 200 years. That to me is just shameful to say something like that about an entire community. Of course, we all know he was a racist. But all the Democratic Party did was figure out how to enslave you in other ways, make you dependent on the government. That's all they did. One other thing she discussed, the wide open borders. The Democrats have realized if they allow enough millions of illegal immigrants coming into this country, they will vote Democrat. And then because, as I said in my last podcast, because Democrats got illegal immigrants counted in the U.S. citizen census as people in different districts, it created 20 new Democratic districts in blue states, increased the amount of Democratic seats in the House of Representatives. So Democrats have figured out that they want power for their party more than they want what's best for the U.S. citizens and our country. They have discovered there are things they can do to make sure they have power and control. The last thing that goes along with that is they have controlled the narrative and the language. They are shaming people who will not affirm someone's gender identity if it's different from the one they were born in. This movement, as you've probably understood, whenever I talk about it, it gets me riled up. This upsets me more than anything. My heart breaks for the people that are convinced by their parents and medical professionals that should know better, that the reason why they're feeling odd or out of sorts is because they're in the wrong body. The reason why a woman feels like a tomboy, that's what it was when I was a kid. We had tomboys. And I had a friend that was a tomboy. She was an amazing skier. As a matter of fact, she was such a good skier. Her family owned a ski shop that was at the mouth of one of the big canyons here for skiing. Just incredible, you know, wonderful tomboy, very athletic. And I have another friend that used to be a really good friend of mine that unfriended and blocked me after I voted for Trump, after he found out I voted for Trump. But they're, you know, had effeminate qualities. But the women were all over him. Thank goodness they weren't born today, because the tomboy might have been, her parents might have been indoctrinated into saying that, oh, he's really a boy. Though you should have her breasts cut off at a teenager and, you know, go on steroids, or not steroids, hormones, testosterone. And then my other friend, if he had woke, indoctrinated parents, would have said, oh, you're a girl. Oh, you should be a girl. You should be raised as a girl. We should cut your penis off. And yeah, this is insanity to me. Let me give you the statistics one more time. And I want you guys to really listen to this. Up until just recently, gender dysphoria, which is a psychological disorder that made you feel uncomfortable in your body and wishing you were the opposite sex, that occurred in 0.004% of children, usually between the ages of 2 and 4, and 99.9% of the time, they grew out of it in their regular course of development. Never in history has transgenderism manifested or gender dysphoria manifested in teenage girls. Not until social media. Because you have these children that, by the way, 9 out of 10 have discovered to be on the spectrum of autism. And that might be why they're out of sorts and don't feel comfortable in their body. But their woke parents, and yes, sometimes the parents are doing it for their own recognition. Yes, I'm talking to you, female celebrities who have their transgendered kids, and you're so proudly marching them around, a boy and a girl in a dress, and mostly boys and girls' dresses. It's shameful what you have projected onto your child. And like I said, I am grateful I was raised in the 60s, because there was a time when I was caught walking around in my mom's high heels, because I think I liked the clicking of them with the heel on the porcelain or cement or whatever it was. And then I loved the attention when all of the guests that were over at the house would see little Drew walking by in mom's high heels, click, 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 click. They laughed. And I loved to entertain. Well, thank goodness I didn't have woke parents in this generation that would have said, oh, I think he's a girl. I think he's really a girl. We should take him to get hormone blockers so he can have more time to decide. This is shameful, my friends. In my mind, it is pure evil. And remember, sometimes evil is done with good intentions, but with ignorance. That's what's happening today. Parents, stop allowing your child to determine their sex until they are done with puberty and on their own. That is the only time that you should allow your child. If they're still adults and still have these feelings and have gone through years of therapy and therapists have tried to convince them that they're in the right body and that they just need to figure out a way to accept it and embrace it. If they go for a, what is it, sometimes 30-minute, 90-minute Zoom call evaluation with a psychiatrist that prescribes hormone blockers and or puberty blockers and hormones with one visit. That to me, that doctor should lose their license, in my opinion. We should no longer allow politics in science. And that is the 100% reason why all of these mistakes and atrocities and huge misinformation is coming out. When people say, follow the science. When I hear someone say, follow the science, and you're not following the science, I immediately discredit them. I immediately know they have no idea what they're talking about. None. I know that they are ascribing to the political science, not the actual science. Now, there are still slivers of civility out there. There are still some common sense thinking organizations out there. There are some people out there who are trusting their gut and doing their own research rather than listening to the media and watching TikTok videos or Instagram reels to get their information. The proof of this is the Olympic Committee has banned Leah Thomas from competing in women's swimming in the next Summer Olympics. Hallelujah. Because I promise you what would have happened. If we would have allowed Leah Thomas to swim in the U.S. and represent the U.S. in the Olympics in women's swimming, countries like Russia and Cuba and all the Venezuela, all these ones that are controlled by communists and China, they would have gone to these poor young boys and said, no, this time you wear women's one piece and you swim identifying as a woman. We will not have this man beat our country because he is cheating and he is a man swimming in women's sports. That's, I know, fun little accent. But that's what I would have predicted would have happened in the next Olympics. Thank you for the Olympic Committee not caving to this insane pressure to allow naturally born men, who are pretending to be women now, to swim against women, because there is so much difference in the physiology of the male and female body that it's absolutely not fair. And the Boxing Federation and wrestling and different organizations like this and volleyball, college volleyball, you're going to have more injuries of young women. You're putting young women in more danger and you're taking away their privacy. Young women have the right to change into their athletic costumes or swimsuits without a man standing there naked with his beans and franks still hanging out, watching. This has gone to the point of insanity to where, like I said, it's not sane minds running this anymore. It's insane, woke people who have been persuaded, and I believe, won over by evil. You may disagree with that, and you know what you can do. If you agree or disagree, write me. You can write me right to my email. It goes directly to my personal email. The email you can write to is Drew, D-R-E-W, at thewatchdogsbark.com. All right. For my motivational video, I basically want to have this played and men mostly listen to it. Women definitely listen to it too, because there's an important message for you too. But this is so important for men. One of my good characteristics and one thing that my dad taught me is to always be a gentleman, no matter what. And I have many of my female friends that just delight when they come and visit me. Oh, I forgot what a gentleman you are, because I always open the car door. I always open the door to the store. I always walk on the street side of the sidewalk so that if a car runs in a puddle, I get dirty, not them. I always try to let them order first at the restaurant. Or sometimes, if they really want me to go chivalrous, we discuss what they want, and then I order for them and for myself. This is not belittling you, ladies. This is not us saying, oh, we know you're so pathetically weak, we have to open the door for you. We need to order for you. We need to be the strong one that walks on the street side of the sidewalk because you're too weak. That is not it. We do it to honor you. We do it to show our respect to you. Listen to this.
You got women out here saying, oh, I can open my own doors. Yeah, of course you can. Doesn't mean you should. Listen, as a gentleman, you pull out chairs, you open doors, and you carry things, not because women are unable, these frail little objects, but you do it simply to show that you respect her presence. You have admiration for her. You want to take care of her. But it's so crazy to me that we live in a world where even these simple things get twisted.
Yeah, they get twisted because now there's like this new age feminism that says he's a misogynist if he opens the door for you. It's so sad that we as women can shoot ourselves in the foot sometimes. We are actually killing chivalry in the name of feminism. If you support women's dignity, you would also support a man's dignity, and part of his dignity is to care and protect for women. So let's celebrate that and affirm that in the men that we know and love, and let's celebrate being women. Our superpower, we bring babies into the world. That's one of the reasons it's so awesome that men can defend and protect us, because we are defending and protecting and bringing new lives into the world. That's our design. So celebrate those differences. Don't erase them. Don't mock them. Don't destroy them. And definitely let him open the door for you and say thank you.
He's absolutely right. And she's absolutely right. By the way, this is Lila Rose Official. If you go to Reels on Instagram, follow her, Lila Rose Official, and follow that, because this is so true. Another thing the Democrats have done, and especially the feminist movement in the Democrat Party, has really hurt chivalry. And they don't understand we're not opening the door because we think they're weak. We're doing it out of respect. We're doing it out of admiration. It's our way of honoring you and thanking you for being with us. That's what those acts of chivalry are. And as my father taught me, you be a gentleman no matter what. And if the woman gets mad at you for opening the door for them, walk away from that woman. You do not want to be with a woman who will get mad at something she's been taught falsely is a way for you to denigrate them, when in actuality, it is a way for you to honor and respect them. Ladies, remember that. And I would actually tell the ladies, insist on your man opening doors for you and doing chivalrous things for you, because it gives us an opportunity to be men, to show how much we love and respect you. That's why we do it. All right? And with that, that brings us to the end of another podcast. Except I want to say one thing about the total eclipse in some of the states in the United States tomorrow. It's a very exciting event. Don't look directly at the sun without the proper protection. And for those parents who are looking for a really unique way for your children to watch the eclipse, this is what happened when I was in junior high and we had a total eclipse. You take a piece of cardboard and you punch a hole in it. All right. And you can even make a box out of this too, and have it on a white piece of paper on the bottom of the box, and have the hole in the top of the box, and have your children watch the shadow made by that hole on the ground. Because it's kind of a cool way to watch the eclipse when you're a young kid. I know it was for me. And you can actually watch that shadow go into an eclipse on the cement where the box is, or, you know, on the white paper if you're going to do it on that way. So that's kind of a fun way to watch the eclipse. I've seen the eclipse, a full eclipse, 3 times in my life, and it's always just a wonderful event. So I hope everybody has a wonderful, safe viewing of the total eclipse tomorrow. I'm here in Utah, so I doubt we'll even see a sliver of it. But I will be thinking about all of you guys that are in the totality pathway. And you know what's coming next. Until next time, create an amazing day. And please help me relay the bark.